I gotta tell you something. Well, I'm straight.
Children raised by homosexuals do not necessarily become homosexuals.
Lep pozdrav. Tole je druga nedeljsko dopoldanska evropska runda na Radiu Študent. Na pragu največje med svetimi nočmi v tokratnih EP aktualnih debatah v zobe jemljamo tudi družino, ki se od svete družine izpred dobrih 2000 letij po svoji sestavi nekoliko razlikuje. Zelo blizu pa je v svojem bistvu, medsebojnem priznavanju, medgeneracijski naklonjenosti in mediatorski funkciji pri posredovanju obče človeških socialnih vrednot. Obče človeških z velikim č. Takšnih, ki namesto delitev na rdeče, bele in črne, belce in črnce, evropejce, slovence, hrvate in migrante, homo ter heteroseksualce, ljudi delijo kvečjemu na dobro in slabodelneže. Govora bo o pravicah lezbičnih, gejevskih, trans in interseksualnih skupin ter posameznikov. Spremljali nas bodo nastopi europoslank in europoslancev iz različnih evropskih držav. Skupno točko, da so emancipaciji naklonjeni, ter da zaenkrat ostajajo v manjšini.
Thank you, President. Mr. Landsbergis has given a deeply unconvincing justification of this law. I was surprised. I thought he would justify it more. Council and Commission have given their deep concern. That is the correct line. Anti-discrimination and freedom of expression are absolutely fundamental principles in European law. In my own member state, as Mr. Cashman said previously, we had such a law in 1988. It is now history, and this law will become history. Because as a community of values, one of the EU's greatest strengths lies in our common endeavour to raise the bar on human rights and the protection of our fundamental freedoms. It is always difficult when one member state is under the spotlight for a potential breach of this law, but it's because of our community of values that we can analyse those laws and that we can say, as the Commission and Council have said, they cause deep concern to us. The Fundamental Rights Agency should do its job and give its opinion. And as the Commission and Council have said, there are problems with existing law, anti-discrimination laws in this European Union. Let's defend what we have and let's ensure that the Socialist Group, along with our sister party in Lithuania, condemn this law, and let's hope that that is what will happen, that it will be consigned to history.
Javna debata ob sprejemanju predloga družinskega zakonika je pod Alpami kopala plitko, izkopala pa najslabše. Medviške lakomirne vesti uvrstimo parlamentarno izvajanje Franceta Cukjatija, človeka, ki je v prejšnjem mandatu deloval z roko na ustavi in poslovniku, še predtem pa na svetem pismu. Z brezramno razumskostjo in politično preračunljivostjo je Atlasa in Joy zaprl v garažo z domačo homo in transseksualno skupnostjo in jim pridružil tistih nekaj 10 otrok, ki v Sloveniji vsako leto dočakajo posvojitev.
Thank you, Chair. I think this is a very important subject that we are discussing here today. It is about European values. We put in the oral question, and we have also drafted a joint resolution about the Lithuanian law, which is allegedly about the protection of minors. But it actually does the contrary, colleagues, because this law may well foster ignorance and taboo and stigma. It will expose young and vulnerable gay, lesbian and transgender people to bullying and exclusion, and it will therefore lead to immeasurable distress and suffering by young people, the very people that this law is designed to protect. But instead of protection, it inflicts harm on young people. Therefore, colleagues, we have addressed this question, and I'm very happy that we already in summer got a letter by Commissioner Barrot expressing the concern of the European Commission on this law and saying that the European Commission will keep a very close eye on it and make sure that any national legislation is in line with European legislation and principles. And I think that is very important, because the European Commission should not only intervene when market rules are being violated, but also, and in particular, when European values are being violated. Because we cannot tolerate discrimination. Europe is a community of values, values which I know are shared by the majority of our Lithuanian fellow citizens. We are all Europeans. Now, with reference to the resolution, colleagues, I would ask your explicit support for the resolution, and in particular for the amendment that seeks to insert a reference to the existing anti-discrimination directives, because I think that is the very minimum. I also ask your support for the request in the resolution to ask the Fundamental Rights Agency for a legal opinion on this law. And finally, colleagues, I think that we can be proud as a European Parliament, if we adopt the resolution tomorrow, to be the voice of the shared values of Europe. Thank you.
Trenutno čakamo na referendumsko pobudo, ki bi Slovenijo nedvomno postavila bliže središču evropskega zanimanja. S čimer pa imamo po izvedenih in pogojno rečeno uspešnih referendumih o izbrisanih ali o prepovedi biomedicinske pomoči samskim ženskam pestre izkušnje.
Starting with Michael Cashman, 2 minutes.
Thank you, President. President, I rise in sadness and not in anger. Sadness that after the Second World War, we still haven't learnt the lessons. During the 1930s, we stood and we watched as Jews and communists and trade unionists and homosexuals were taken off to the camps. We stood, we said, we did nothing. We have now moved on. And I say to those countries that have lived under domination and repression, that you of all countries should know the value of fundamental human rights, freedom of association, freedom of speech, and the right to a private life. You should be teaching us about fundamental values. And that is why we will not hesitate to defend human rights and human rights defenders wherever they are. Let me say to anyone who feels under attack wherever they are, and as a gay man, I could have been born in Poland or Latvia or the Czech Republic in fear of my life, in fear of my job. But let me say to them, you are not alone. We are with you. And we will win for the simple reason that goodness and justice always succeeds in the end. When we refer to the minister and the statements that were made, we're not talking about a one-off statement. We're talking about a series of statements that have been calculated and made over the years. And hate speech creates a climate. It creates a climate that somehow lives are inferior, that a person poses a threat to society. And a climate is created and fear is engendered. Rights are under threat. Words once spoken cannot be taken back, and the harm that is done continues. And the words too often empower the thug, which leads to violence. Mr. Weber, I note that you say no to homophobia, but it's sad that you also say no to doing anything about it here in this House today. And let me finish on this. We will succeed, but that means we have to take up our responsibility to defend human rights and to end human rights abuses, wherever they are. Thank you.
Debata na domači, evropski in svetovni ravni ne bo zamrla. Šla bo naprej, na poti pa izničevala ničeve predsotke, ki se jih je, konec koncev, v svojem času branil tudi Jezus Kristus.
Thank you. I think also the PPE knows that today we're not only talking about one statement of one minister. It's a much broader debate. And I think it's obvious to the majority of this House that this motion is only put forward because some people do not want to discuss the discrimination against homosexuals. But we're politicians in a democracy, and if you don't like a resolution, you're simply going to vote against. I cannot understand why this would be inadmissible. Next time we're even going to declare a debate about the internal market inadmissible. The topic falls within the competence of the European Union. Equal rights is a core of the European Union. And since the Treaty of Amsterdam, I don't know if everybody is aware, Article 13 stipulates that we have a role in anti-discrimination legislation. It's not the first time we're going to discuss homophobia, and unfortunately also not the last time. So my point is that it's very clear. It is admissible. It falls within our competence. The only reason can be that you don't want to discuss it. But my idea is that let's debate about it this afternoon and let's take it into account when you vote. But let's not distort a debate.
Vielen Dank.
Obetavna novica je te dni prišla iz Strasbura. Svet Evrope je 31. marca na zasedanju ministerskih sekretarjev soglasno z vsemi 47 glasovi, ki segajo od Reykjavika in Lizbone na zahodu do Moskve in azerbajdžanskega Bakuja na vzhodu, v imenu vseh vlad sprejel priporočila o ukrepih za boj z diskriminacijo na podlagi spolne usmerjenosti ali spolne identitete. Gre za prvi tovrstni medvladni dokument na svetu, ki eksplicitno kodificira morebitne nacionalne zakonske aplikacije in rešitve za LGBT skupnost.
So 2 minuten.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, colleagues in the House of the European People, also present here. Last September, a member of the Ugandan Parliament introduced a so-called anti-homosexuality bill. This bill would criminalize homosexuality, leading to punishment through imprisonment and even the death penalty. This would not only apply to these alleged criminals, but also to those who fail to report these so-called crimes or those who support human rights and other work in Uganda. Our concern is that free sexual orientation as well as free expression are human rights that would be violated, and that these are not only European values, but these are universal values. So we also reject the death penalty as a whole and want to join the international community who is very concerned also regarding NGOs who may have to cancel their activities and working in Uganda. So we join President Obama and others in the international community who have called to not approve this bill and to review any laws that would criminalize homosexuality in Uganda. Thank you.
Da pa pot še ni pri koncu, se večina svetovnih držav na urejanje pravic LGBT skupnosti ne gleda ali pa gleda s krajnimi zadržki, kaže že izjava Alija Abdusalama Trekija, libijskega diplomata, ki trenutno predseduje Generalni skupščini Združenih narodov. Izrekel jo je v izjavi za javnost konec lanskega leta po svojem inauguracijskem govoru, v katerem se je zavzel za mir na svetu. Na novinarsko vprašanje o rezoluciji o dekriminalizaciji drugospolnih praks, ki je bila na dnevnem redu, pa je povedal naslednje.
Matter is very, very sensitive and very touchy for many countries. I think as a Muslim, I myself am not in favor of that, coming from Muslim countries. I think the Muslims, they were not. I think this is also not only the Muslim country. I can see it is not accepted by the majority of world of countries. There are some countries who allow that and think that is a kind of democracy. I think it is not, in my opinion. If this raised by the General Assembly, then it is the General Assembly who has taken decision on that matter. But I personally, my opinion is not in favor of this matter at all. I think it is not really acceptable by our religion, our tradition. I'm talking about the Muslim world, who almost more than around 2 billion people now in the world. I think this is. That will not very keen. I think also for the other religious community is not acceptable. Also, I think I probably for the Jewish community or Buddhist and other Hindus and other it is the same. So I think this is very touchy and very it doesn't. But of course, if they submit that to. The General Assembly will see what the General Assembly how to react.
Thank you very much, Dr. Triki.
Zdi se, da je Evropa na področju promocije enakosti ali vsaj zaščite pravic skupnosti LGBT pred večino preostalega sveta. Res je tudi, da je vsak korak v smeri kakršnekoli emancipacije katerihkoli spolnih praks, ki odstopajo od tako imenovanih tradicionalnih, počasen in naporen. Ampak ali so ženske pred nekaj desetletji lahko volile, se politično udejstvovale, odločale o svojem telesu, iskale zaposlitev, vodile lastno gospodinstvo, vozile avto ali ostale neporočene in kljub temu rojevale? Spremembe so neizogibne. Gre zgolj za vprašanje tempa, ki ga bodo narekovali kratkoročni politični cilji posameznih strankarskih grupacij. Od vas se poslavljamo z venčkom evroposlanskih pro-mnenj. Miren preostanek velikonočnih praznikov voščimo.
My group is the only group in the European Parliament to have fully committed to a fully fledged campaign on the issue of LGBT rights. Today, 3 out of 5 countries, or 3 out of the 5 countries who have legalized same-sex marriage are in Europe. That is encouraging. But in many areas, public policy has not yet caught up with public opinion.
This cause of fundamental rights so that we can guarantee, most particularly to the more vulnerable groups and more threatened groups of society who need more protection, rights and liberties which will be more solidly founded, recognized and defended.
This is about human rights, the rights of every individual European citizen to lead their lives as they wish. And I think that is very much the cornerstone of European integration. I think this is what the whole European integration isn't about the single market. It started after the Second World War because we said never again. Never again will people be prosecuted. Never again will people have to fear for their lives because of who they are.
Is let's make sure that we go beyond the party political divisions. This is not about a propaganda exercise for us as individuals with our own hobby horses. We're here today as politicians, experts, people who experience this reality day after day.
I would dare to say that Vladimir Špidla is at least one of the most gay-friendly commissioners you've ever had. He is a person who finds homophobic prejudice particularly distasteful and particularly unacceptable. Not that other prejudices would be acceptable, but of course there are many types of prejudice, inter-ethnic prejudice, which have a lot of history of conflicts and competitions.
Lesbian and gay, bisexual and transgender rights are human rights. They are not separable from the main body of human rights. And to go down that route, to go down what I would call the notion of a separate directive route and selective defence of human rights, is to repeat the appalling atrocities that led to the Second World War.
The biggest issue around this campaign and this proposal around another anti-discrimination directive, there are about 5 points, I suppose, that we would like to make on it. And one is that we understand that LGBT people are within every community. So they are older, they are younger, they are in different religions, they have disabilities, they are of different races, they are of different ethnic origins. As with anybody who is older, they are in all the other communities.
The trend in some member states is towards a single piece of equality or anti-discrimination legislation, treating all grounds in essentially the same way. The UK is finally heading in that direction. The Netherlands has a single law, a number of member states do. And I think the same should be happening at the European Union level. My proposal, which I will write up and circulate as soon as possible, at least to try and get a debate going, is for a single equality directive based on a single legal basis.
So in July 2005, we approved a law on homosexual marriage. That was opposed by the People's Party and two members from the Christian Democrat group in Catalonia. So it means that most of the parties, therefore, representing the Spanish people, coming from different political shades, did approve that law.
In year 2000, we adopted an anti-discrimination legislation on multi-grounds, and sexual orientation was there. So sexual orientation, discrimination based on sexual orientation was forbidden on everything, services, employment, whatever. At the same time, the criminal code criminalizing the sexual activity was still in force.
So these organizations act very democratic here, but in Moscow, the official representative of the Pope joins with the Russian Orthodox Church preaching against basic democratic rights, then we mustn't accept that.
And how police deal with, behave during such event to ensure that the police maintain its neutrality and law enforcement role. As we heard from Volker's statements, in some countries it still remains an issue. For example, last year there was a statement by some police individuals within the Latvian forces who were trying to initiate boycotting, protecting the gay march. So it's remain, we need to be vigilant about how the states and police are going to act.
Sadly, it has also been necessary for us to highlight these rights and violations of these rights within the EU. The fact that in 2008, the right to freedom of assembly and the freedom of expression are not available to everyone in the European Union is a sad and slightly surreal reality. The denial of the right to peaceful assembly to certain LGBT communities in the EU, or to any other community for that matter, within the EU, is an insult to the concept of civil rights in the EU.
Last year we organized a big study visit to the Netherlands during the Dutch Gay Pride. I was very cautious about this study visit because I know what the Dutch Amsterdam Pride looks like. It's very overwhelming, in particular for people that come from very disadvantaged societies. So I was very curious to see how this was going to impact on the activists that we invited. And actually the impact was very good. It was a very, very empowering effect for those people.
I heard some arguments. I'm mainly dealing with economic issues, that this is also dangerous for the economic development in Europe. I agree. But for me, it's firstly an individual, a human rights. But of course, if that could perhaps give some extra argument for those that actually doubt, we can also give them economical arguments.
The EU cannot disregard the profound changes of the family patterns in the last decades. Our legal system does not acknowledge these changes and accommodates them is doomed to fail to effectively regulate the life of society in the long term.
One is the Marocco judgment, which I will not address because will be the object of the next session, I suppose, but it's very important and I will touch upon briefly. And the other is a very important decision in the European Court of Human Rights concerning adoption by single people.
A number of member states have been quite sort of cooperative. Not that they shouldn't be, but it's not always the case. And so when we've pointed out areas which we think are problematic, even at the very beginning stage of an infringement procedure, the legislation has been amended and the problem resolved.
We, of course, are calling for a new anti-discrimination directive that would extend the protection and go beyond the good directives that were adopted in 2000. That was a significant progress already.
We have had just in the last few weeks two very relevant cases, which I think highlight very clearly some of the important positive potential of the EU legal framework on asylum for lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender people, but also some of its shortcomings, particularly in regard to current member state practice.
To allow two members of the Cuban volleyball team to escape from Bulgaria, enter overnight Italy, and in 2 days get political asylum, which is something unheard of, but it happened last spring.
What was very interesting is how we were able to convince those of our colleagues who initially were reluctant to change the law in such a way. And we did it by returning the argument of discrimination.
Egypt, and I remember it's now quite a few years ago, with Michael Cashman as the chair of the intergroup, we actually had the Egyptian ambassador to talk with us. Octavia's nodding, you may remember that, because there were infamous cases of the persecution of, yes, of gay men on a boat.
Proti Bruslju in tamkajšnjim političnim aspiracijam na področju emancipiranja skupin z drugačnimi spolnimi praksami je pogledoval Lan.